My name is Katie. I was part of the team going down to Idaho this past week, past 2 weeks actually, and I will just be sharing a little bit about our schedule and what we did there, and the kids will go into more detail of like your own testimonies and stuff. So yeah, so our team was eight people. We had eight people on our team. It was me, Paul, and the kids over here. And yeah, some of the kids over there. Our mission trip was a total of 10 days long. We spent the first 5 days in a camp. We were with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. We were up in a campsite in Cascade, Idaho. That's one of our hikes. It was more like a retreat kind of training session. It was with three other church youth groups in Boise, Idaho, and one other lady from Belize. And it was like a camp preparing us for the second portion of our trip, which was the outreach session. And in this camp, the theme was exhale, inhale, and through worship, messages from Pastor Rob, the pastor at YWAM, and prayer and quiet time with God, we learned to exhale, to give up the bad things in our life, the sin that's holding us down, and to inhale and fully invite God into our lives. And we understood that this was really important for the second part of our outreach, as if we don't have Christ in our lives, there's nothing for us to give in our second portion of our trip. So that was very important for us to learn and do. We also participated in sessions and activities with the YWAM staff. We learned about the different ministries that we'll be part of in the second part of the trip, like homeless ministry and refugee ministry. We learned about like stuff we should expect, what we should do, when different situations occur, what should we do, what should we say, what not to say, stuff like that. We also practiced some skits, some songs to perform to the kids. Yeah, we also did other activities. Like hiking and just having fun with each other, getting to know all the staff members, and yeah, that was the first 5 days. The second 5 days we split up into two groups. One group went to Salt Lake City, our group, and another youth group with us went to Boise, and that's where we did our ministry. And we did a lot of different ministries like sidewalk testimonies or prayer walks and hiking and praying over the city. But our two main ministries were homeless and refugees. With the homeless ministry, we had the opportunity to go down to part of a bridge in Boise where a lot of homeless people stay overnight. And we were there to hand out water, ice cream, and hot chocolate. And with this small gift, we use it as an opportunity to start conversation and just to get to know them, build a relationship, build trust, and hopefully share the gospel with them. We went every day, sometimes twice a day. So we were really able to familiarize with them, and they all knew us by name at the end of the trip. That was really cool. Yeah, we hope that through this, they can see the light of Christ, and as YWAM follows up with them, they can eventually come to Christ as well. The second ministry was the refugee ministry. We went to different apartments where a lot of refugee families live in, and we would bring balls or beads to play with, and we'll just start playing, and the kids will come out and play with us. And our objective was to play with the kids and to lure their parents out and to talk to the parents and share the gospel with them. The refugee ministry didn't always go the way we wanted it to go, but we definitely still made a lot of good connections, and we hope that the missionaries in Boise will continue to follow up with them and reach out to those individuals. So overall, it was a very good experience. We definitely learned a lot, not just about the refugee and the homeless, but also about ourselves. And about God's kingdom as well. So I'm very proud of the kids. And thank you everyone for your support and your prayers. And yeah, we'll invite the kids to come out. Thank you.
Hey, my name is Matt. You didn't already know. Part of one of the people on the Idaho mission trip. Yeah, I'm already doing the hand motions. So, I'll be talking about the camp, mostly, the first 5 days. Camp itself was kind of like a retreat, you know. It was like out in the woods, up in the mountains, it's in Cascade. So, there's literally just like nothing but woods around you. The air is super thin because you're up in the mountains, and it's really dry because you're in Idaho. And then it's also really hot because it's summer. But, yeah, so it wasn't... And I'm not a nature guy, so I didn't, it was like, kind of uncomfortable. But, overall it was pretty good. There was two sessions every day, one in the morning and one in the evening, mixed with a bunch of random activities, We went hiking, we had captured the flag, we played volleyball games, just like a bunch of stuff. It was really fun, but the main part of it was outreach training and the sessions that they built in to prepare us to go out and spread the gospel. So for the outreach training, and they also mixed in like testimony training and a lot of other things. But the testimony training really, it helped me a lot because, well, I already kind of know my testimony pretty well, but just preparing it over again, sharing it to other people, it really helped. Okay. It really helped reinforce what I already knew and just strengthen my faith. There's also intercession every day, which was basically they shared a little bit of some people group that was in need, whether it be Muslims or just people that were persecuting Christians or just anything that they wanted, just the whole camp to pray for in general. And they would give a little bit, either a video or they would talk a little bit about it, and we split up into groups and we prayed for these groups for like maybe 15 minutes a day. It wasn't that much, but it was very helpful and helped me learn how to pray better, I guess. Near the end of the camp, so let me backtrack a little bit. Throughout the camp, the theme was exhale, inhale, which Katie talked a little bit about, but it was exhaling the bad stuff and inhaling the good stuff about Jesus. And one of the main verses that really struck me was Ephesians 4:22-24, and I think it's have here, maybe. Never mind, whatever. But it goes somewhere along the lines where it's like, you know, you put off your sinful nature and you put on your good nature. And throughout the camp, that's the mindset that I tried to incorporate. I tried to keep within me. And through at the very end of the camp, they had this thing called commitment service, which was super emotional. They basically had this like super emotional music. There's a cross in the middle, and they had a box of tissues just in case like people cried and stuff. But at the end, I was like hoping for that like Jesus moment. I was like, this whole camp was like super emotional. All these services spoke directly to me. Every message that the speaker talked about, it really talks deep. It really talked about things that I struggled with personally, and that night I felt like I really wanted to get rid of the bad stuff. And there was a coffin there where people placed in things that they wanted to leave dead, they wanted to get rid of and just never take back again. And there were many other retreats where I've done this before, and I'm like, yeah, now's the time that I'm going to get rid of it, right? And this retreat, I thought the very same thing, that maybe I'd ride through this emotional roller coaster and I'd get rid of the sin struggles that I've been dealing with. And I was talking to some of the staff members, some of the counselors, and I didn't really feel anything, and I was like, man, I was really hoping for him to really talk to me, and nothing really happened. And eventually Daniel came over and talked to me, and we talked for quite a bit, actually. And Daniel had really, he'd really grown a lot, actually, throughout this camp. And he told me that the way, the mentality that I was thinking, that I gotta get rid of these things, I gotta change myself, I have to prepare myself to go for outreach, that wasn't the mindset that I should be having. And it's not about myself, it's not about what I should be doing, how I should change myself to prepare myself for Jesus, but it's about giving all my burdens to him and letting him help me change in that way. And it was kind of a shock, and I was kind of sad at the same time that I didn't get that like Jesus moment. But it really opened my eyes. And this camp was, overall, it really touched me and opened my eyes to a new way to think about Jesus. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Hi, my name is Ethan, and I'll be talking about our refugee ministry. And so we went to two different apartment complexes. One was called Brentwood Apartments, and one was called Magnolia Apartments. And so we went there for a total of 3 days. One day we spent at Brentwood, and 2 days we spent at Magnolia. And in Brentwood, it was, like, very comfortable, because most of us, we've dealt with kids, whether in VBS or in, like, other mission trips to Trinidad. So we're very used to kids. And there were a lot of kids there, so it was fun to play with them. And there were a lot of Congolese people and a lot of Iraqians and those kind of people. So it was nice to see the different cultures and nice to meet them and talk to them. But there weren't really parents, which was our main focus, to reach out to the parents through the kids, to attract the kids, to attract the parents. So we didn't really have an opportunity to talk to the parents, which was kind of disappointing, but still we were able to talk to the kids and share the gospel with them and make, like, gospel bracelets with them. And it was overall a very good experience there. Our second place, Magnolia, there weren't any kids when we showed up. It wasn't like Brentwood where we showed up and, like, there was, like, a rush of kids. It was, we walked in and, like, the streets were, like, empty. And we walked to, like, a center grove where, like, the playground. Like, the kids, we thought the kids would go there, but there was no one there. So, we walked around, and we're like, no one's here, what do we do now? So, we got it together, and we prayed, and we did a prayer walk. Which, is, if you don't know what that is, we just walked around and prayed that kids would come out, or that God would send us to a different place. And then, I don't remember how it was, but we were just hanging out on the playground doing our own stuff. And then, we got a text from Katie, and then Katie's like, oh, come outside, there's, like, a bunch of kids in the streets, like, come to our area. And we're like, oh, let's go. So we walked over, and there was just hordes and hordes of kids. And it was a special day that day, because it was someone's birthday. But it was still really cool, and then you see how God answers your prayers in, like, various ways that you think would never happen. So that happens, and then the second time we went there, we did the same thing, but the kids knew us that time by then, so they came out naturally, and it was just a great experience playing with kids and sharing with them the gospel. And there was actually it's a funny story, but they all realized we were Chinese because we looked different from them, and then they're like, oh, can you teach us to say something in Chinese? And we're like, okay, what do you want to know? And they're like, I don't know. So we taught them how to say I love you in Chinese, and then so what happened was we taught them how to say that, and then they were just running around the playground, like, screaming, I love you in Chinese, which was really, like, heartwarming to see, like, the kids just sharing love. And one of them wanted to say, I don't love you. So we taught them that, and then they were talking it amongst themselves, so it spread. And then one of the kids was like, I don't love you to Katie. And Katie was like, what do you mean that? And then she's like, I don't know, what do I mean, what did I say? And she's like, I don't love you. And the kid was like, oh, no, I didn't mean that. So you can see how God's love just spreads through kids, and it's just a great experience to really talk to them. Yeah. But that was our refugee ministry.
I'm going to be sharing a little bit about homeless ministry. So, like Katie said, we brought them hot chocolate, water, donuts, coffee, and ice cream. So, basically, we just sat there with them, like, on the curb and, like, just had a, like, heartwarming conversation with them and just try to get to know them a little bit better. And if we just so happened to share about God's love, then it happened. But a personal experience was with this Christian woman named Jessica, and she was there handing out flowers to people just, like, on the streets. And I got to know her, and she told me that she wasn't exactly homeless anymore, and that she had a job and she had a place to sleep, but she started out on the streets. And but instead of disassociating herself from the homeless, she visited them every so often and just sat with them and got to know them better. And she told me that she handed out flowers because she wanted to make people happy and that she wanted to make the world more beautiful and just cheer up the homeless people's day a little bit. And she also told me that her mom would keep all the money that her dad would send for her. And her mom would use excuses like Jessica needs money for a new home, or Jessica is currently looking for a new job and she needs some money to get her started. And then she told me that her mother would keep all the money for herself and that she wouldn't give it to her, and that her mom would actually like not even care for her, and she knows that she's living on the streets. And I offered to pray for her and with whatever she needed, and she said she didn't want prayer because she always prays for herself and it's selfish. So instead she offered to pray for me instead. So I told her the only way that she could pray for me was if she let me pray for her first. So she said yes. And so she asked me to pray for her mother to open her eyes and see what she's doing is wrong, and how she also asked me to pray that her mother will care for her more. And so she's 32, I believe, and she was saying how even though she's still old, that she still wants her mother to love her and just care for her and stuff like that, even though she's an adult now. And so I prayed for her, and then we said bye to each other, and then she told me to continue doing things like this because even the smallest gesture can touch someone. And so, speaking on behalf of the whole team, this was an eye-opening experience. Personally, I learned that homeless people aren't just dirty and uneducated, but they're actually so smart and so nice. I am so thankful that I got a chance to make their days a little bit happier and show them God's love. They're normal people like you and I, and they have so many great stories to share, and we're just willing to hear them. I also learned that we need to be less judgmental of others, because when I got there, I just assumed that they were just, you know, like, they, like, flunked out of school, or, like, they didn't bother, like, making an effort to, like, I don't know, get a job or something like that. But, like, as I got to know them, I learned that they were, like, they have so many, like, it's not their fault that they're homeless. They just got stuck in a rut, and now they can't get out of it, or they got addicted to something, or they're just not sure where they should go, and they need to, like, they know that being homeless isn't the most, like, enjoyable thing, but they just need, like, that little push to get out of their little situation. And a lot of them said that, like, what we were doing, like, just passing out water or hot chocolate or ice cream or coffee and donuts, like, made their days a little bit better, and that they, like, they were so happy whenever we came there. And, yeah, it's super nice to hear that. That's it.
So I'm going to be talking a little bit of my own testimony. So before I went on the trip, it kind of started around 7th grade. I don't know how it started, but I suddenly got depression. And as the years progressed, it kind of got a lot worse. And I always prayed about it, but I kind of felt like God never really answered me. So when I went on the trip, I felt like God started to answer me. He started to bring all the staff into my life. He started to have them talk to me, either personally or with their own testimony, and that kind of touched me a lot because, like, I understood them, and I could see how, like, God kind of got into their life, and so it really helped me a lot because I was kind of, like, I kind of felt, like, really alone. I felt it was kind of hopeless to keep praying, but after this mission trip, I felt really blessed. I felt like this was the one thing that God was calling me out for to do. And it was really nice after that because I got to talk to the homeless people, even though I didn't really get to share their my testimony. I got to be there for them. I got to pray for them. So that was really nice. But there, at the homeless ministry, we helped this one couple, Pam and Bo. I think Pam was drunk, so we just had to help her across the street. And there were these two cyclists. They were coming by, and they shouted, like, "Get the F off the middle of the road." And I don't know about the others who helped them, too, but that really hit me hard. Even though it probably wasn't, like, to me directly, but, like, I just personally hate that there are still people out there who really judge us helping them or just the homeless people in general. And I just pray that, like, they would become more heartful, not so heartless, that they'd be willing to open their eyes as well. For intercession, we also prayed for, like, the orphans, the refugees in Syria, just all those people because they have tough lives and they don't know God. So knowing God is a really good thing. You can always pray, even though he doesn't answer immediately, at least you can know, like, he's there for you. And I just want people to not doubt God, because I thought, like, I could go through it by myself, which no one can go through the struggles by himself. And you always need God, even though whatever situation you're going through, you think, yeah, I can do this by myself, I don't need God. But there are definitely some things where you have to pray for, and he will always answer, even though it might take years. But he'll definitely hear your prayer, and he'll definitely help you. Yeah, that's my testimony.
Mic check? Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone. Katie said, thank you for supporting us on this trip. It was a great experience for all of us, and I'm really proud of these students. And, yeah, like you heard, we faced some adversity. We had people not so happy that we were talking to the homeless and ministering to them. He was Spanish speaking. I don't know what country he was from, but he was pretty upset, and he was saying all this stuff about, like, Chinese people and why are you here, why are you talking to us, we don't need you, all this stuff. You know, I try to explain we're here to help them. Oh, not help them. We're here to just be with them, just to get to know them and things like that. And yeah, in the mission field, things can be very, very difficult. And I'm proud of these kids. They handled it very, very, very well. And, you know, we can see that there's a lot of need out there. And that's kind of the main idea for what I wanted to share about. You know, there are so many different people we met. In Idaho, we met refugees. Ethan mentioned some from the Congo, we met some Somalians. We met Iraqis, Afghanis, we've met a lot of different people. And a lot of them have never heard the gospel. And even those who may have heard the gospel before, like many of the homeless have gone to church and things like that, but many of them still do not see the truth of the gospel. And it's, you know, when you look at it on in the mission field, and when you're there, out there, seeing kind of all these people who have just never heard the truth of the gospel, it really, really kind of hits you. And I'm so thankful our church has really pushed for us to reach those who are unreached. And that's why we even went on this trip, because we knew we would engage a lot of non-believers, and especially people who are unreached. And Somalians are unreached, Iraqis are unreached, Afghanis are unreached. And really, really interesting to meet those people, because we don't really see a lot of them out and about around here. But in Idaho, we were able to go to those apartments where they live and be able to engage with those people. And, you know, I'm so thankful that our church wanted us to do that. You know, the church is going to, you know, long-term want to really reach the unreached. And right, and the unreached, if you guys don't know, it means that 5% of the people group are Christian. Only 5% or below are Christian. Right, so it's a very, very small percentage. And what it means is that they need outside help in order for them to grow as Christians. They need outsiders from their people groups to come in, to share the gospel, and to raise up more and more leaders in that people group. And, yeah, that makes it that much more difficult to reach these people, right? A lot of them are closed off. A lot of them do not know the gospel, or they know of Christianity, but they don't really know what it means, and they have their own misconceptions about Christianity, and there's just a lot of barriers to break through. Culturally, it would be totally against their family or culture to change religions, right? Especially for the Muslim faith. And a lot of these people grow up in it culturally, and if you leave the Muslim faith, you're basically banned from your family, right? And that is a lot of pressure to have. And even if you say you believe in this Christianity, right, you believe in Jesus, like, the idea to abandon your family for this is frightening. And I know a lot of us probably would not be able to make that decision ourselves. And it just goes to show how difficult it is, and the many challenges that we face when we minister the gospel to all types of people. But what I want to focus on is from Matthew 9. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to it. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Okay. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So, the key part of this passage here is that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we see that Jesus, after this remark, he says, therefore pray. Right, go out and pray for laborers. Pray to God for laborers and his harvest. Right? And I hope that we are all doing that as we are disciples of Christ. Right? I hope that we are being praying for our missionaries. Right? In our bulletin, if you didn't know, we have a missionary prayer item every Sunday. And that's not in there just to fill up space. Like, it's meant for you to read it. Just pray for these missionaries who are doing the work out there, who are in the battlefields, right? So, you know, we are to pray for more workers, laborers in the mission field. And I think for a lot of us, so many of us get caught up in praying and just, I'm not saying praying is bad. I think a lot of us kind of just get caught up in it and say, oh, you just gotta pray, just pray, just pray, just pray, right? Pray for missionaries, pray for workers in the field, pray for laborers to go out into the mission. And prayer is extremely powerful. It's very, very true. Prayer is one of the most powerful tools that we have, right? Ethan shared that, you know, there was literally no one outside at the apartments, and we were told that there would be people there, right? So what did we do? All we could do was just pray. In that moment, we just prayed, asked God to allow opportunities to come, and literally, like 2 minutes later, an opportunity came. And it is awesome to see God work in that way, in that powerful, powerful way. But I want to challenge all of us. And for us here, especially as people go to church, people who live here in the United States, kind of just, you know, have our routine, go to work and all this stuff. Now, I want to just challenge us to think about how we can be more involved in the harvest. How we can be more involved in the mission field. Right? A lot of us forget that being a missionary is not optional. As Christians, we are all called to be missionaries. Right? The Great Commission was to all believers. To all those who say they follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Right? You know, we heard from today that there are so many people out there who have never heard the gospel. And it's not like we can just, you know, bang on people's doors and just be like, believe in the gospel, believe in this, hand them a tract and whatever, and be done with it. No. Mission work, especially for the unreached, it takes so much time and energy and effort. You know, like we met these people, right, who we've never made contact with before. And actually, I think we were one of the first people to actually kind of engage with this one apartment, the Magnolia Apartments. And, you know, they were asking a lot of questions like, what's your purpose? Like, what are you doing here? And, you know, I didn't say much, but Jenny actually shared a little bit about, because it was another Muslim girl. It's a little not right to have an older man speak to a Muslim woman. So, you know, Jenny spoke to her and kind of shared, she did a very good job of it, concerned that, you know, we're just here to help people, not help people, but, you know, engage with people, and get to know people, and to just really just hang out and really just kind of show the love that we have to the people there. And it was great, and they were very receptive to that, right? And they were receptive to the idea that us, you know, we as strangers were just playing with their kids, playing soccer, making bracelets for them. You know, it's kind of weird in the United States for a stranger to come into your apartment complex and start playing with your kids, right? You'd all be like, what the heck is going on? Who is my kid playing with? Who are these Chinese people, right? But, you know, these people were very warm. They're a very warm culture. They're very willing to embrace people, which is great. Good for us who want to reach out to them. But these kind of commitments, this kind of work takes such a long time. Because we know that all of them aren't going to be receptive to the gospel. We know that it's going to be just one family here who's willing to just be our friend. That's where it starts there. One family willing to be our friend. And then you get your foot in the door, you start having meals with them, you start having a deeper relationship, and then you possibly can introduce the gospel, right? And be more serious about it and have a discussion about it. And then you pray that God would convict their hearts to change them. It just takes years. This is the type of mission field that we have out there. It takes a long time. It takes so much time, effort, commitment, and it takes a lot of people to get involved. And I'm showing you this picture to show you, to kind of explain that, like, we need to be involved. There are so few people actually doing this type of work. And it was a challenge to me going on this trip to see that, man, like, just to reach these people who have never heard the gospel, it is so hard. There's so many people who just are unwilling to hear it. And you need to start with baby steps. And we need to get so many more people involved in this, to want to form relationships with these people, who want to be friends with them, right? Not be afraid of them, but to be friends with them, to love them for who they are, to accept them as Muslims, and to have those eventually those conversations about faith. And my kind of vision was, man, what if we were all involved in this in some way? Right, what if we all became good friends with Muslims, people from Iraq, Afghanistan, even our Indian brothers and sisters, right, here in Edison? What if we became close friends with them? And even just a handful of them came to know the gospel. How amazing would that be? Just like five of them out of the thousands here. That was just a picture in my mind, but right now, it's just so hard to not, for us as our church, I feel like we do a very good job with missions, and we try to support our missionaries, and we try to be mission-minded. But I really think we need to look at ourselves and see how we can get involved with this missionary work, this work that God has called all of us to do. It's not optional. Right? It's not optional. I know some of you are like, oh, I don't have vacation, so I can't go on mission trips. Like, it's not about that. We can do all of that work here, within our daily lives. And we just have to have that mindset of, how can I love my brothers who have never heard the gospel? And how can I share the word of God to them? And you hear countless stories of people who have became Christian through that process, right? Especially Muslims and Indians who are Hindu. A lot of them, it's really hard for them to change, what they believe. And I understand, it's a cultural thing. It's kind of going against your family, which is very important. Us as Asians, we understand how important family is. Right? We understand how important it is to be a part of family. And not to be ashamed, not to be considered, the shameful son or daughter in your family. And so, the only way people can really introduce gospel is if you really just become close friends with them. Right? And you really just engage with them and talk to them. You show them Christ's love in that way, not just, once in a while, but on a consistent basis. Being a consistent light of Christ to your friends around you. And yeah, that takes all of us. That is a commitment that we all need to be part of. And, in the passage that we just read, it does say, pray, therefore pray. And some of you might think, oh, all we need to do is pray. And that should be good enough. I'll pray for missionaries. Pastor Paul said I should pray for missionaries. I'll just pray for missionaries. But you have to remember, who is Jesus speaking to? He is speaking to his disciples, right? And what are his disciples doing? They're going out and spreading the gospel already. That is what they're doing already. To them, it's not like, oh, should I be in missions this year? Should I not? No, they're always on missions. That is all they're doing. All they're doing is walking around and telling people about Jesus. That is the only thing they're really doing out there. And what Jesus is saying, yes, keep doing what you're doing and pray. Pray for more people to go with you. Pray that every single person who comes to follow Christ will spread his word. And that is the mandate. It's not optional. I want all of us to, if anything, just remember, it's not optional. And if you don't want to do it, then I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. I really don't. How do you not want to share the amazing love of Christ that you have all received? So, that's the main thing I just wanted to share today. And for all of us, as we kind of just conclude our time for today, I just want us to, as Jesus says, to take some time to pray. How many of us can truly say that We are a part of this work that God has called us to do. Right, that we are participating in the mission field. Like I've been saying, as followers of Christ, if we're being apathetic about sharing the gospel, if we're being apathetic about wanting to engage our brothers and sisters from different cultures, we need to repent. That's our sinful nature getting in the way. And this challenge that I have, it's not only for you guys. It's for myself. It's something I've been convicted of. And I know that I need to grow in this. And I need to see how God is opening opportunities for me to be more missional in my life. Even as a pastor. And so, as we pray, I want all of us to kind of reflect on how is God speaking to me? And how is God calling me to do this mission work that He's definitely calling us to do? Right? Do we have to maybe go outside of ourselves? Go outside of even our faith community? Even go outside of our fellowship that we have? And, I love fellowship. I love the fellowship in our church. I think our church is great at being able to grow with one another. And we've been doing well in that recently. And I praise God for all the work that He's doing within our individual lives. But again, it has to be more than that. There's so many people who don't even know what Jesus really means. And so, how is God speaking to you? How is God challenging you here today? So why don't we just take a few minutes. I want to end a little early so that we can just take a few minutes praying on our own. And allow God to speak to you here and now. See where and how He's challenging you. And how He wants you to live your life truly following Him. Not just as a believer who goes to church every Sunday, but as a person who lives to share the gospel, to show the light of Christ, the love of Christ to all your peers, your friends, your neighbors. So why don't we just take some time right now and close our eyes and see how God is speaking to us.